I'm asking this question not for myself really, but for people who may still. Some people may say that you made a reference that when they don't take the vaccine, and then they say that okay, God will help them and protect them. Mm-hmm. And you said some Christians might be tempting God in this way. Some Christians may feel that's too much of a strong statement. They don't see themselves as tempting God by not taking the vaccine. How
very,
would you respond
very
to that?
Good point, Brother Gilbert. And let me, it's just like many of us here have read it over the years. We are these fake healers and so-called spirit-filled people. Remember, every true child of God is spirit-filled. I need to repeat that. Every true child of God, every man, woman who became a Christian according to the gospel and is in their daily lives striving to live to please God, they are spirit-filled. Spirit-filled has nothing to do with emotionalism. We must keep that in mind. Being filled with the Spirit has nothing to do with trembling and getting out of control. It has nothing to do with that. So back to the point is that we have read and heard on the news over the years. We are, especially in places like the US and other places, where people who claim to be spirit-filled and who claim that God speaks to them, we find that what they do, they will arrange to have poisonous snake brought in their audience. And they will want to show what they are actually doing. They want God to intervene to save them from the effect of the poison in the snake bite. And they feel if they can develop enough courage to handle that poisonous snake and come out not being affected negatively, they would demonstrate to their audience how close they are to God. Some of them have had zoologists to drain the poison from the snake and have that snake brought to their audience and handle the snake. Now, even if that snake bites you, not going to do you anything because the poison is extracted from the snake. So there's all type of, but the point is, I'm talking about situation, and I have clippings to that effect. And this happened in Tennessee, where they handle poisonous snake, and within minutes they had to be rushed to hospital or else they would die. They got sick immediately. Well, the point Brother Gilbert brought is the same type of thing. As I've illustrated, there are many churchgoers and many Christian people in the large church who will push common sense one side. Of course, common sense is not so common after all. And that is a fact. What we call common sense, that everyday sense of what is good, what is right, what is safe, what is unsafe, that some people have more than others. It's not so common as we make it. But when we put aside directive that God is giving us, sign that God is giving us, enlightenment that God is giving us from the people who know, because Remember, the Almighty God sent help to us from many directions, even from people who are not Christian. God does not send help from people who talk on subject that they have no knowledge about. The Almighty God is a God who like enlightenment. If you are going to speak on a subject, acquaint yourself with it. When my friend or my neighbor in my neighborhood going to speak from the top of their head, they don't think what they are saying, they don't examine what they are saying, and if I don't have enough sense to know not to listen to that person, then I'm going to suffer the consequences. But what I'm saying is that there are many, probably in the hundreds of thousands here and all over the place, men and women who are religious, believe there is a God. And on their own thinking, they will decide, you know what, I don't feel I have to take that vaccine. I'm not going to take. And my God will protect me. That is, you know, in the light of the amount of knowledge that is out there from the people who study the virus. There are people who will tell themselves God will protect them from it. Now that is tempting God. When all the passages we look at this morning, May I? One of the points I made this morning is we're for one to choose his own path. Are we all there? Place him, that is a person who, based on what I think, that is, let's say it's me. I think this. I don't like the vaccine. I don't think the experts know what they are saying. So I'm not going to take it. Okay? So I choose my own path and place myself into perilous and dangerous situation or position in respect to the virus. And in doing that, I am sure God will protect me from it. I'm sure God will come to my aid. That is tempting God. God will not come to your aid. You know why? The directive that God gives us through the expert, through the people who study the virus and know how it works, I refuse to accept that. There is proof that these people have studied the thing. They outline how it works. And what and what. But I don't want to listen to them because the God who I serve, I'm a faithful child of God. That is tempting God. And when the passage is all over that we have looked on this man, talk about tempting God. That is one of the areas. Is when we choose our own path, we shove aside the enlightenment that God placed in our path. You know, something just come to me. When the Almighty God send message through Micaiah that Ahab should not go up to Ramoth Gilead. But Ahab wanted to go up to Ramoth Gilead in spite of God's message. So you know what? He got his 400 plus false prophets who were fed at the palace to tell him what he wanted. And when up to Ramoth Gilead, and he died a very miraculous way up there. Well, it's the same thing with us. Don't ever deceive yourself that when God sends you help and you ignore it and choose your path, the path that you like, don't ever think that God is going to come to your aid. That when the passage we read in Isaiah where God asks his prophet to ask, will you inquire of me? That is, are you going to come to me, the Almighty God, to find out what you are to do? God says, I will not listen to you. Why? God had already given them direction. And they refuse it. And now they want to come to ask God. God said, no. So what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, when this attitude where, in fact, let me explain it this way. It's not only where the Almighty God has given us directive. He has shown us what is right. Either through people who know, that might be my doctor or your doctor. That's right. I don't study medicine. But thank God, God has provided some people coming, some people who have studied medicine and know how the symptoms that come with certain illness. So if for the past 3, 4, 5 weeks I've been feeling a pain at the back of my head, I can probably just go to my doctor and explain. And just the explanation I give, the doctor knows exactly what caused it. With me now, I might be taking a dozen different home concoctions, and it won't help. But God helped me to have a doctor who has studied medicine. Not only he studied what caused that symptoms, but he studied the medication. Remember, there are some doctors who study not only the drugs that can help, but doctors who study the natural thing that can help. When those people who have spent years studying that and proving it, and God used them to help me, when they speak, come and sense and listen to them. When I tell myself, say, them don't know where they might talk here, and I choose my own path, and proudly tell how God will come to my aid. God not going to make me get infected by the virus. No, God won't make you get infected by the virus, but God will leave you up to your own foolish decision. And don't expect God's help. All the passages, as I've said, a lot of times what we do in testing God, another side to it is we are, and I explained this morning, are we all there? In order to test our own, not faith, our doubts. You see, in our mind, we have it that it is faith we have in God. But it is not faith. It's our doubt. Our doubt looking for somewhere to feed itself. But it's usually look at the wrong thing. We have doubt about our relationship with God. We want something tangible to tell us. So you know what? We create our own danger and decide to put it to test. That is, I'm sure God will help me out of this. The thing out of which, you know, I expect God to help me, I'm the one who created it. Because I'm not sure about my relationship with God, so I want to put it to test. I create my own danger. I may decide that, you know, I'm a child of God. I'm going to fast. Jesus Christ fast for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm going to try it. What's wrong in following this in the step of the master? So I started out. By the time I reached 20, 25, 30 days, I'm almost dead. You see? But You see, I'm proving God. Brothers and sisters, don't expect when the Bible talk about tempting God, those are the situation where we create our own scenario, our own danger, our own threat. And in wanting to prove how close we are to God, we tell ourselves, God will come to my aid. I'm a child of his. Brothers and sisters, I showed this morning with Paul, knowing that if he went through the gate, the Jews with whom he had the debate would kill him. He knew that. Now, unless Paul had gotten word from Jesus Christ that he should go, it is nonsense and idiotic for him to go knowing that the men were waiting at the gate to kill him. So he didn't. The Christian went another direction and let him down in a basket. Now, many people would say, if they really believe in God, then we just go through the gate. Well, you got on through it now. They kill you. You see, and it's the same thing with the virus today. Many people who got killed as a result, and many who will get killed from it, are people who, had they exercised common sense, they would not be affected. So as you have said, Brother Gilbert, is that these people swear that they are making wise decisions. But when you read the Bible, the many passages where God brought Israel under indictment for tempting him, it's along that line. Don't make foolish and wise decisions and expect the Almighty God to run to your aid. Don't ignore the wise decision of people who God sent in your circle to help you and expect God to come to your aid. He's not going to. That's tempting God. God set out to help you in the first place by sending you initial upfront information, and you refuse to take it. Come in, Daniel. Did I address it? The point, Selvin. Daniel.
The first question is, will you be repeating this lesson?
Speak a little louder.
Will you be repeating this lesson next week, Sunday, God's willing? When the two sessions come together?
I'm not sure. I didn't intend. In fact, the lesson I have in mind for next week, Sunday, is a lesson I've been announcing for well over a year now, that we are living in the age of uncertainty. I've been announcing that message well over a year because it comes to me from what the virus has done to the world. It has created an upheaval in our normal way of living. There's hardly a man or a woman who has not been affected by the virus. It has reversed our thinking on certain things, from our health, our wealth, name it. And as a result of not only the virus, there are other things that I'll be using as illustration, that I feel we need to understand that it matters not how certain anything in the world appears. The virus, among other things, have shown that They are not as certain as they appear. And that is the lesson I have in mind for Sunday coming, that we are living in the age of uncertainty.
Okay.
Coming. Now, in respect now to this lesson, I felt, and I said it this morning, that all Christians should have a chance to listen to this lesson that we are contemplating now. That's, I said that this morning, that every child of God should listen to it. And I'm also thinking it's the idea of interrupting one of our radio program to make this one of the lessons, just to reach out to men and women who will not exercise common sense. So I'm not planning, Daniel, to repeat this lesson Sunday coming. Something may come up that make me want to. But I feel if I had another way to let every person hear this lesson about tempting God, I would. Go on with your point.
Okay, so the next question is, how would you relate Psalm 91 verses 9 and 10 to what you're presenting? So when it says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home.
How okay, would you I was that? Going to ask. Read the passage again. Aloud.
If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home.
Okay, what I have taught in the lesson today, tonight, and that passage, there is concurrence. There's no contradiction between that passage, Daniel, and what I've said. You see, the way we make God, it used the word refuge. What other word it used? Shelter. Any other word? And what will evil will not come our way? In literally every situation where God become the shelter for that man, that woman, or whoever, it is without exception a person who follow God's guidance, a person who follow common sense rule, a person who follow the directive provided by God, without exception. The passage where God will be refuge and he will be your protector and whatever, it's never for the man or woman who, through common sense rule one side and opted for their own way in life. It's never. It's always for the person who follow common sense rule and follow God instruction. And I may add, in literally all the cases, and there are many we didn't examine this morning, where we read passages addressing
God bringing Israel or an Israelite under condemnation because that Israelite tests God and tempts God, it's usually for either a man or a woman or people who create a situation. For one, there are people who usually refuse to take the path that God directs and want to take the path that they like, are people who want a miracle and create situation and invite God to perform a miracle. Because the passage around which the lesson revolved was Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7, where Satan said, if you be the Son of God, he took Christ, so to speak, up in the miracle, or at least that's where Christ would go and cast himself down. And what Christ would be demonstrating, you see what I did? It's because I'm so close to God. You see? And that is tempting God. Whenever we create our own danger, or place ourselves in danger, tell ourselves, I want to see, I want to prove, I want to show how God is going to come to my aid. That is tempting God. Yet that same situation, if it comes naturally, you didn't create it, you didn't jump into it. It's a natural evil, challenge, danger that comes your way. And you have to face it. You have to deal with it. But you deal with it with trusting in God. God will help you. You see, there's that they may look like the same. They are not the same. They are vastly different. Connie, it's just like the passage in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. If any of you have any point, just hold your point. I'm coming back to you. Just hold it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Let us hear it.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now.
Here God is saying, prove me. That is, test me. Now, that would appear, but Brother Mitchell, isn't that the same thing? Here God is telling Israel to prove him. And yet, he is chastising them for proving him. No, this is a different situation. When God says, prove me, watch here, is that do what I say. Obey me. And see if you will be the worst from obeying me. You are not going to be the worst. Prove me. Do what I say. Believe in what I say. And trust me to work things out for you. So this is how this means. Wherever you see in the Bible where God encourages people to prove him, try him. It is a situation where God is challenging his people to obey me. Follow the path that I have given you. And trust that in spite of how things may look, I will work things out for you. That's what this means. It doesn't mean for us to create our own danger and then see how God is going to run to our help, because he's not going to. Okay. Yes.
Yes, Brother Mitchell. When the Almighty God spoke to the fathers by the prophet,
Can you remember anywhere that they have challenge or difficulty that you did not tell them to do something?
Say that again.
When God speaks to the fathers by the prophet, can you remember any place that they have with a medical issue, whatever else, that God don't tell them to do something?
Yeah, let me repeat it and make sure I understand. That when God speaks to the Israelite, his people, through the prophet, if there is any instant when they face challenge, when God didn't tell them to do something, that's what you say. And what you mean is that at every step of the way, when they face any challenge, God usually gives them directive how to get out of it. You're perfectly right, brother. You're perfectly right. There was no situation that I can think of now where they face challenge and God just tell them to galangso. God always come up with something. Sometimes it's simple. When the Israelite, God tell them to leave Egypt and them a run from Pharaoh, they reach the Red Sea. And when they reach the Red Sea and look back, Pharaoh with his army had come to clean them up. God says, stand still and watch the salvation. No, God didn't kill off the Egyptian there. God simply told Moses, stretch your hand with the rod across the sea. When they're almost ready to clean Moses up, literally ready to kill Moses when they were thirsty and there was no water. The miracle God performed was to tell Moses to strike the rock. And when the Israelites sinned and the poisonous snake came among them and they were bitten and they were dying, the poison in the snake killed them, God simply told Moses to make a snake out of rock, out of brass. Plant a pole, that is a piece of stick, in the midst of the camp. And put the snake around it. And anybody who come and look on it when they were bitten, they were healed. And we can just go on and on where the Almighty God always stipulate his condition that must be met. Now, when any Israelite there were Israelites who, when they didn't want to meet God's condition, they quarrel on Moses and Aaron. That is equal to God tell you what to do and send help, like with the COVID virus. Give expert the knowledge and you refuse it, and you're going to tell me when you are exposed, you think God going to come helping you? No. In every situation, God sends some help. But don't refuse the directive God sent, because he's not going to be responsive. And this, the prayer, the God's command or instruction there in Isaiah chapter 7. Could somebody read it? Verse 10 through 13 again. I should have read that from the Amplified.
Isaiah chapter 7, from verse 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord.
Yeah? Let me read it from the Amplified. Moreover, the Lord spake again to King Ahaz, saying, ask for yourself a sign. That is the one miracle, you know. So God sent his prophet to speak to the king, for the king to ask for a sign. Ask for yourself a sign, a token or proof. Because this is exactly, you know, what tempting God involves. Where we want some indication from God that he's working for me or with me. Our naked faith is not enough. Yes. A token or proof of the Lord your God, one that will be convincing to you that God has spoken and will keep his word. You get what we are getting here. I'm not true. Is that it seems King Ahaz wants some proof, some miraculous proof that God had said what he said through the prophet. He's not going to take the prophet's word. God has to send something else. Ask either in the depth or in the height above. In other words, choose your geographical location on a hill or in the valley. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. To ask God to do something when he has already directed us, to ask God to intervene when he has already given us instruction, is tempting God. Yes, Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. I am tempted here to read verse 13, but let me stop there. Let me just illustrate as an illustration. Is it Esdras? I think it's the book of Esdras. May I? You have 13, 14 Apocrypha's book. These are the books written between the two testaments. They are not inspired. The Roman Catholic Bible has them. They were written by religious Jews and, you know. But in one of these books, I think it is Esdras, there is a situation where the Israelites face a challenge from the Syrians. And when they face the challenge, some of the leaders of the Israelites set a target for God. It's like they tell themselves, you know, I believe it's last night I was reading, Saturday night, no, yes. They set themselves a target that if by 12 o'clock tomorrow God doesn't come to our aid, we are going to turn over the whole Israelite camp to the Syrian. That's tempting God. They set a date when you better come, God, or else these people who are your people, including us, the leaders, if you don't come by midday tomorrow, we are just going to invite the Syrian in. For God, invite the Syrian in from now, because I may not come tomorrow. You see, a lot of times, that's how we tempt God. We set target for God. That does not represent faith and humility. It represents lack of faith. Any question? We're going to end here. Yes, Sherry.
Brother Michelle, the command is not a command from God that you should take the vaccine, right?
Say that.
It is not a command from God that you should take the vaccine, is it?
No, it's not a command. In the same way, it's not a command from God that I shouldn't stand in the middle of the road when a car is coming at 50 miles an hour.
Right.
There's no command from God said I shouldn't stand in the room. Go on.
So, is the lesson about
tempting God?
Someone who would, okay, there are options with the vaccine, right? You can choose to cover up, live like this, cover up and wash your hands and whatever, whatever. That's what the first.
Yes, those are some of the steps we can take. And yes, it's well known, and here again is where we can follow the expert, because it's known if you have underlying issue, just a minute, the vaccine doesn't work as effectively when you have underlying issue. Go on. Say that again. People catch the virus. People who have not, they catch the virus and they were healed. Yeah. Well, there's nothing. Wait. Let's deal with that. There's nothing that has been said today and in this evening that would in the slightest indicate that. In fact, what we are showing is that in the lesson this morning now is that when we trust and believe in God, the common sense, directive, enlightenment, protection that God sent our way by whomever. Let me explain. Suppose there's scarcity of food, let's say in this area that, let's say many of us live in this area, there's scarcity of food for whatever reason. And there is an ungodly man who don't even believe in God, who brought some food that's going to save life. Should we give God thanks for that food? Yes! Is he ungodly? Yes. Does he believe in God? No. But he became aware that people in this area in need. I would have no doubt that God was working through that person to send food here. You see? And just the same way with the scientists, the researchers, the doctor, who studied how the virus worked and why it killed so many people and why they stipulate about 3 steps we can take. Cover our mouth and our nostrils, wash your hand, keep physical distancing, and of course, take the vaccine. Now, I give God thanks for the medical knowledge that is available today.
When I spoke to Eddie, was it immediately after he underwent the surgery or before he went? Because we have spoken a few times. And what I pointed out to Eddie, I said, we live in a time when medical science has made a lot of advances. 20, 30 years ago, when you hear about a bypass, that was a major, major thing. There were not many doctors who were expert in something like that. But today, there are so many. So I pointed out that, you know, we are thankful to God that there are many doctors. Remember, most of these doctors are not Christian. But God furnished the knowledge, and that knowledge has been used to help God's people. So the point about believing in this more than God, now if you got that idea, then you weren't listening, because my point is that when God sends us help, common sense help, I don't mean we have to guess and think about it for weeks whether or not it's from God, is that here is facts that has been proven. The vaccine, the virus worked this way. The vaccine does this to limit its power. Then thank God for it. It's for me, what I've been trying to show is that you do not push aside common sense, directive, health, enlightenment, and jump into a danger and expect God to lead you, because God does not work like that. The business of tempting God is based on that very principle, that when the Almighty God send us or give us or provide for us simple guidance, that if we follow it, we will be better off. But we throw it one side and take the path, not the path that God has sent helping, but the path that we reason out, the path that we like, then all the business that we have looked on today about tempting God, it's all about when men and women refuse to accept, to submit themselves to the simple, common place, guidance, instruction, directive that God provide, and opted for their own. It has nothing to do with believing in the vaccine more than in God. I don't know how you got that, Sister Bradals. No, well, what we have shown today in the lesson, I pointed out, say that. Thus, you said it would be good to just cut off your breast. No, well, that's not a right reasoning. Sherry, that is cracky reasoning. Well, what were you showing by that type of reasoning?
Okay, if the vaccine, they don't have it. All right, of course,
You mean the virus? The vaccine, Cheryl, as such doesn't kill. The vaccine as such doesn't kill. And the line health issue limit the power of the vaccine. You see, the vaccine, because, okay, remember, vaccine is not a new thing. I have my vaccination mark. I probably got that when I was 8, 9, 10. So vaccine is not a new thing. The principle with vaccine, which I think most of us know, is where the principle upon which vaccine is formulated is where you are injected with a mild form of the same virus. Watch here. You know, every time I think about our vaccine world, I say, what a great God. Because when you are injected with a mild form of the virus, called vaccine, that's what the vaccine is, they put in your bloodstream a mild form of the same virus, you know what your body does? The great God make your body kill a cell, come alive to attack that mild form of the virus. Antibodies, those killer cells called antibodies. So the antibodies come alive to protect you with the mild form. When now you are infected with a more powerful form of the same virus, the body had already learned how to fight it. That's right. That's the general biological principle upon which, before my father was born, there was virus, there was vaccine. So the point is, it comes right back to the power of God, the way God made this wondrous body. Because it's not so much that the vaccine protects you. What protects us is the antibody that God places in our bodies. The vaccine only, like I use an illustration, it's like those antibodies were asleep. And the vaccine bring them alive. And therefore, when we are infected. So, for me, the vaccine, same way electricity, same way computer science, it's men and women studying laws that God put down here. That's what brought about internet science, electricity. Well, it's the same way with the virus. Men and women just understand better how the Almighty God made this wondrous body. David says that man is fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes.
Hi. Good night.
Yes, Alice. Yeah, ma'am.
Thank you.
And Alison, as you know, men also have breast cancer. Not as regularly as women. Yes, go on. That's true. That's true. You see, when we don't want to do something that needs to be done, we try to find an excuse to justify what we want to do. When a lot of times what we want to do is foolish and unwise. Thank you, thank you, thank you all for your input. And let us, above all, remember the lesson. Tempting or testing God is not in our best interest. Don't ever throw aside the simple thing that God gives us to do. And then, when we take our own way and get in problem, we expect God to lead us out. One of the illustrations used this morning and Sartre referred to, I think, tonight was Paul having been let down in a basket over the wall. He did not deceive himself, telling him that because he was a faithful servant of God, if he went through the gate, nothing will happen to him. Paul knew that that would be foolish. Unless God had given him directive that he should. Now, that's a different scenario. If God says, Paul, in spite of they waiting to kill you, go on through the gate, then you go. But other than that, you follow the common sense that God gives you. Find another way to go about your business rather than go where those murderers are. Thank you.